eBay sellers, it's Suzanne A. Wells, and welcome to eBay the Right Way, the podcast for at-home resellers. This episode is all about what to do when other people approach you to sell their stuff on eBay. In the first segment, I have a list of tactful and polite ways to say no if you don't want to get into the realm of selling other people's items. In the second segment, I have a few stories about how not saying no got me into trouble. I promised you stories from my eBay journey since 2003, and stories you shall get. I really just want to help other people avoid the mistakes and nightmares I experienced along the way. Back when I started, the only thing we really had to interact with other sellers and ask questions was the eBay community boards. And the people there were so rude, insecure, and really threatened by new people wanting to learn. I mean, most of the sellers on those boards were just downright nasty to anyone asking a question. So it was very intimidating to go there and ask for help when you didn't know what to do about a certain situation. So I had to figure out a lot of things by trial and error because there just wasn't an infrastructure for help with your at-home eBay business. And this is the main reason I started blogging and mentoring and helping other sellers, because there just wasn't an infrastructure for help back when I started. Now we have Facebook, YouTube, the comment section, and other social media platforms that are just wonderful for asking questions and getting the help you need. So it was during that struggle of trial and error that I had a lot of interesting experiences and just had to figure things out. And that's what I want to share with you through these podcasts are the things that I learned that saved me time and money and frustration, so you don't have to go through that too. Okay, so let's get into the first segment with some ways that you can politely decline selling other people's stuff. If you are an eBay seller and you ever meet somebody new or it gets around that you sell things, people will come to you and ask you to sell their stuff. And unless you want to get into consignment or maybe just do somebody a favor, the overwhelming majority of people out there don't want to sell other people's items. And it's for a variety of reasons, mostly because we have enough trouble keeping up with our own listings and getting our own stuff up for sale. And, you know, those death piles that keep getting bigger because we love to shop. So it's really hard to make time to sell things for other people. And there are associated hassles with that as far as the money back and forth, or the person telling you what you should sell it for, not understanding the eBay market, because an item is only worth what somebody will pay for it. So people will see you as kind of like a meal ticket to sell their stuff, and you don't have to do it. You can say no. And that's hard for a lot of people, especially women. But let me give you some suggestions for ways you can handle that situation and say no in a polite way. And a lot of times it's family, so it's really hard to tell them no, but it's just a matter of boundaries and it's up to you to set them. So here are some ideas. Okay, the first thing to say is, oh gosh, I just really have a hard time keeping up with my own stuff right now. I just can't take on anymore. I'm sorry I can't help you. And I use that one all the time. Actually, I was at a social gathering a few weeks ago and met some new people. And the first thing out of this one lady's mouth was, oh, I have this dress that I would love for you to sell. How can we make that happen? And it's almost like they don't even ask you. They just assume that you're going to do it. So again, they see you as kind of a vehicle to help them get money, a meal ticket, and you can just say, I already have enough to do. I can't keep up with my own stuff. So even if I took it on, it'd probably just sit there for months and months till I got around to it. So I can't help you. So sorry, I just can't take that on. Kind of like when the PTA keeps asking you to do stuff. You just have to keep saying no over and over again. Been there and done that. Okay, the second thing you can say is, you know what? eBay is pretty easy to learn. And you can sell your own stuff and keep 100% of the profit. And then you just refer them to my YouTube channel, my website, my premium library, whatever you want to refer them to, and just say, hey, this person will help you learn. You just put it right back on them. So it's their responsibility to handle their items and learn to do it themselves. And most people will say, oh, I don't have time, or that's too much trouble, or but you already know how to do it. It'd be so much faster. And then you can revert back to number one, where you say, I already have enough to do. I just don't have time. And that brings us to the third thing they're going to say back to you when you say no is, well, I just don't have time to learn. I don't have time to do that. And then you can say, yeah, everybody's really busy. And so am I. And I have that same problem of I just don't have time. So if you don't have time to list your own items, I sure don't. So you might want to just go learn how to do that. And then refer them to whatever helped you learn and put that responsibility back on them. The fourth thing you can mention is how inconvenient eBay's return policy is. You can say, well, I did sell some things for other people, but eBay has this return policy. So it's 30 days. And after the buyer receives the item, they have up to 30 days to return it. So I couldn't even give you your money until after that time has passed. And that just kind of messes up the whole deal, is that return policy. So it's just better if you do it yourself. The next thing you can suggest is, hey, you know what? You should just sell that on a Facebook group or Nextdoor or any of these other sites that are local. And then you won't have to pay any fees and you can sell it right away yourself. You should try that and just push them off into the Facebook marketplace direction and let them figure it out. And one last thing you can say is, no, I simply can't. And if they keep on and on, say, I simply can't. And don't say I'm sorry, because you don't have to do this for anybody. This is your business and you can take on what you want. And you don't have to be sorry that you can't help every single person that asks you. And trust me, the longer you do this and the more people who know that you do this, the more of these requests you're going to get. So this is about setting boundaries and protecting your time. Because when you get going off on these tangents, helping other people sell their items and not getting paid for your time, that's time you could be spending on your business, listing your things, making money for yourself. So remember, when you're listing things for other people, they're not paying you up front. You're spending your time taking the pictures, listing the item, answering the questions, all of that before the item even sells, and it may not sell for a long time or at all. So our most valuable asset is our time, and we have to learn to protect it. And this has been a lesson for me for a long time, because I started eBay way back before anybody else in my area even knew what it was. And I've had people coming to me now since I started in 2003 saying, oh, I heard you sell on eBay. Can you sell this for me? Can you sell that for me? I've got this I need to sell. And I've had to learn to say no and not worry about hurting other people's feelings. It's about protecting your time, because you know what? When you say no, they're going to move on to somebody else, or they'll figure out another way and you don't have to worry about it. So boundaries, protect your time. And no is a complete sentence. That's all you have to say, is just, no, I can't. It is a very common situation. And I don't think people realize that they're imposing on us and our time, because they want to use our skill and expertise to help them make money. And really, it's a great skill. They should learn it themselves and empower themselves so they can make money anytime they want and not have to rely on another person.
Okay, so I hope those tips helped you if you are a person who has trouble saying no, which I wish I was not one of those people, but that's just how I'm wired. It's hard for me to say no, so I thought maybe some of you out there might find yourself in the same situation. Okay, and now for some real life stories from my eBay journey about situations where I did not say no and it got me into a little bit of trouble. The first one is when I first started selling, I was probably about 2 years in, and my family knew what I was doing. And once they saw that it was working and I was making money, they started coming to me wanting me to sell some things for them. And there was one relative who was a little bit older, let's just say my parents' generation, who wanted me to sell some clothing for her. So I went to her house and we sort of went through her closet looking at what would sell, because a lot of it was older clothing. I don't want to say it was vintage. It was more just dated clothing. But she thought because it was old that it would be valuable, which is a common misconception. When selling things for other people, it always seemed like they thought it was worth way more than it really was. And I was in the situation of having to explain to them that an item is only worth what someone will pay for it. Your emotional connection, your history with it, has nothing to do with what it will sell for. And a lot of people who don't understand reselling or even economics just can't grasp that idea. You see this a lot when people are selling their homes. You know, they've had all these wonderful experiences over years, maybe decades, you know, Christmases with their family and all the wonderful things that happen. And they think their house is worth more because it's such an emotional part of their life. So people do get attached to things. Anyway, we settled on a few items and I went home and took the pictures and started listing them. And there was one dress in particular that she had bought at a specialty boutique somewhere in Colorado that, you know, anybody who is anybody in Colorado knows about this boutique. So she thought that made it more valuable. And it was from the 70s. And I think she wore it in a wedding. And it was just a plain white dress with crocheted sleeves and kind of a lace overlay. It was very pretty, but it was very flower child and definitely vintage. So I said, what's the least you'll take on this dress, because I was doing auctions at the time and I wanted to make sure that we got at least her rock bottom price. You know, I wasn't going to sell it for $10. So she said, oh, I won't take less than $400. And I had to explain that that kind of thing doesn't sell for $400. And I wouldn't say we got into an argument, but it was definitely a disagreement about the value of the dress. And then it turned into my skills as an eBay seller were not up to par. She thought I didn't know what I was doing and, you know, just forget it. Just don't do any of this. And I had already listed about 25 of her items. And she just said, nope, forget it. I'm not doing this. Just, I'll get it all back from you. And we're just not doing this. And so lesson learned there was I invested all that time into listing these items for her. And then she just changed her mind. Just, you know, like at the drop of a dime, she just changed her mind because things weren't going her way. It was really disappointing for me that a relative would treat me that way and not value the time investment trying to help her make money. I wasn't even taking a commission. I was just doing this as a favor to someone who had some things to sell. So I learned a really important lesson there, but I didn't beat myself up too much because every experience makes you smarter or gives you a foundation to build on in the future. No experience is ever wasted. You may have learned something, maybe you met someone, you went to a different place, you discovered a new way to do something, whatever it is. And you might not understand why an experience is happening at the time, but years later, it might make sense. So all of your experiences add up to who you are and what you know and what you can do today. So when you look back on dumb things you did or bad decisions you made, don't beat yourself up. Just realize it's part of the puzzle, the learning process, and a building block for who you are now. The next situation was actually with my dad and his football tickets. My dad and mom are University of Alabama alumni, and they were actually there when Bear Bryant was there. So they are quite loyal to the school, and my dad had some kind of special season tickets for alum going back that far. And so over the years, he would go to the games, and that was a big deal. He would invite friends and family, and you know, he was always going over there to Tuscaloosa to the games because it's not too long of a drive from Atlanta. So as he got older, he didn't go as often because it was just harder and more tiring and doing the stairs in the stadium and all that stuff. And the tickets were, I think, 40 yard line. I mean, they were good tickets. They were good seats. So after a while, he approached me and said, "What about if we sell some of these tickets on eBay to the big games, LSU, Texas A&M, the big home games where the tickets would be more valuable?" Because this was definitely a unique item, limited in number. And for some of those games, we thought the prices could go pretty high because this was around the time StubHub had come out and you could see what tickets were going for. So we decided on, I think it was an LSU game, and I put the tickets up for sale as an auction based on his purchase price, which was like $50 a ticket, like so cheap, plus a little bit extra to cover fees, eBay fees, PayPal fees. So the first time we did it, the tickets sold for right around $3,000 for four tickets. So he was ecstatic. He was thrilled. And that was a great transaction. I FedExed the tickets, you know, overnight. I wanted to make sure they got there. So everything went well. And then I started asking him, well, you know, why are we just doing one game? Why don't we do all of them? And he said, "Well, you know, there's this guy at church, and I've been selling the tickets at my cost to him, and he goes to the games." And I asked about this guy, and just my intuition said, "Now, he's not going to the games. He's selling these tickets." Because this guy was almost older than my dad, and I was just, it just didn't add up. So we had a conversation about that. And you got to understand, my dad is all about money. It's all about how much money you can make and how much money you save and buy everything the cheapest and all that kind of stuff. So, well, he was born right after the Depression, so that's how he was raised. But Anyway, we started having discussions about me selling more tickets, and I wasn't taking a commission. I think he might have given me $100 just for my time because it was so easy to list event tickets. You just scan it on the scanner and put it up for sale and drop it in a FedEx envelope and ship it and you're done. So we got into this discussion about why couldn't we sell all the home game tickets. And he said, well, you know, Joe's my friend and we've been doing this for years and I don't want to jeopardize our friendship by not selling these tickets. And basically he felt like he was being held hostage to sell the tickets to this guy at church. And I was like, these are yours. You earned these by being a student there back in the 50s. And this belongs to you and you can do anything you want to with it. And this is a very unique and profitable item. And I just couldn't convince him to do it, which was fine. So the next year he picked, I think, two games. And the game that he thought would be most profitable that year was Texas A&M. And we sold those tickets, and they didn't sell for anywhere near what the LSU tickets sold for. And I tried to explain to him that, you know, it's not going to be the same every year. It depends on each team's season, you know, how's their season going? How desirable are the games to even go to? It depends on the date, the weather, the economy, all kinds of things could have affected the sale price of those tickets. And so then, once again, we go back to, well, Suzanne doesn't know what she's doing. She didn't do it right, all those kind of things. And he was very disappointed that he didn't see that $3,000 again because he kind of was counting on that. So I had to take the blame for it not going right. And I just kind of said, okay, well, I'm sorry it didn't work out the way you wanted it to. Maybe this idea isn't a great arrangement and I'm really not comfortable doing this anymore. So I didn't. I didn't sell him anymore after that because he just didn't understand how eBay works. And that's another problem when you sell things for other people. They just don't understand how eBay works, how the economy works, and nothing's guaranteed. An item is only worth what someone will pay for it at any given time. So just a warning. It took me two strikes on that one to realize just don't sell things for family. It's just not going to work out. You're going to get blamed for things that aren't your fault. Because people love to blame someone when things don't go right. So that was a tough one to swallow, but that's the way it turned out. Okay, I moved along in my eBay reselling journey, decided not to sell things for family anymore, but a friend approached me wanting to sell her 35 millimeter camera. And I said, okay, well, I don't know anything about cameras. Are you 100% sure that this works and all the parts are there inside of it and everything is fine with it? And she's like, yeah, everything's fine. No problem. It's good. And I took her word for it. I didn't know anything about that type of item. I didn't know how to check it and make sure that everything was working properly. So I just trusted this person. So I went ahead, put it up for sale, and it sold for over $100. So I was very excited about it, called her and told her, and I'm like, hey, you know, they've already paid. I can give you your money. Everything was, you know, rolling along. So I gave her the money. Well, shipped the item the day after the buyer received it. They emailed me and said, this is broken. The such and such is missing on the inside. You know, I want to return it. It doesn't work. And I was like, oh, great. I've already given my friend the money for this. So lesson number one is if you're selling something for someone, make sure that the return period has elapsed and they can't return it. Even better, wait the 90 days until they can no longer leave feedback, because if it's broken or not as described and the 30-day return window has closed, they can still leave you negative feedback. They have 90 days to do that. So that was a very important lesson because at that point in my life, I was very trusting of everyone because I'm a trustworthy person and I do what I say I'm going to do and I tell the truth. So I don't know if she knew it was broken, my friend, or not. I really have no way of knowing that, but she already had the money. So I didn't even have the buyer return the item because it's not going to be any good to anybody. Maybe that person could sell it for parts, but I just sucked that up as an important $100 lesson. I just ate the cost of that return. I did tell my friend that, hey, here's what happened. She says it's broken. She says this is missing. I've already given you the money. What do you think we should do? And the friend said, well, it's not broken. The buyer's lying. You know, I'm not giving the money back. And it was this whole big blow up that cost me a friendship over that one dumb eBay sale. So that was a very expensive lesson. I was out of friendship. That was more expensive than the $100 because you can always get more money. But lifelong friends, you can't get more of those. Those are kind of limited in number. So my philosophy on that one is don't sell things that you're not familiar with, especially things that have a lot of moving parts. Because if you don't know if they work, how are you going to believe the buyer when they dispute something if you don't know anything about the item? And this is one of the reasons I don't sell very many electronics, is because I just don't know enough about them to know if a buyer is calling my bluff on something. So I just don't want to deal with that situation. There are plenty of other things that don't have multiple moving parts, things like plush and clothing and kitchen items and linen, stuff like that, where it is what it is. You don't have to have a lot of technical knowledge about camcorders and amplifiers and receivers and all that stuff. But, you know, if that's your specialty, then go for it. It's just the lesson on that one was quite a few of them. Just don't do business with friends. Keep those separate. If you've got friends who want you to sell things on eBay, push them off to learning it on their own. You don't have time. There's a lot of great resources. You can keep all the money and just don't take that on. And don't sell things you're not familiar with, because if it's ever disputed, you need to know enough about the item to have a conversation with the buyer about whatever it is they're disputing. And then the third thing is, if you do sell something for someone, wait until that return period has elapsed and don't give them their money until all of those hurdles have been crossed, which they're not going to like, but that's how you can protect yourself. Now, in this next situation, I kind of instigated it, but I wanted to share this with you because back in the early days with eBay, all I could see everywhere were opportunities and the big picture of how this could work for everybody and in every aspect of my life. So parents of school-age kids or any kids that ever had to do fundraisers will appreciate this. It was that time of year in the fall where PTA was ramping up all of these fundraisers and this stuff where they wanted kids to go door to door selling wrapping paper and cookie dough and all that kind of stuff. And I just despise that kind of thing. I just despise begging for money, which is how I saw that. So I had this brilliant idea of, why don't we just not do these fundraisers and get people to go through their homes and donate eBayable items? And I would be in charge of that, listing the items, and the PTA would get the money. And I wasn't even going to take a commission. I was thinking, you know, how many other parents absolutely despise this fundraising crap? And they would be so much happier to just go in their basement or their closet or their kitchen drawers and pull out some stuff, drop it off in a box at the school, and I would pick up the items and list them. So I pitched this idea to the PTA officers. I actually took a week to write up a business plan. Remember, I am a business major, so that's how I think. And I created a list of 100 items that these people would probably have in their home that would sell on eBay. And this was from my own experience, the type of items I was selling, the types of items I was buying at their garage sales in these other neighborhoods around me and in my own neighborhood. So I knew what people had in their homes. And of course, you know, I've been in some of my friends and neighbors' homes, so I know what people generally have. So I made up a list room by room of DVDs, VHS tapes, these brands of clothing, these types of items new in the package, all of those things that later ended up on some of my lists of things to sell. So we had this meeting with me and I think four of the PTA officers, and I pitched this idea, and I'm like, you guys just don't realize how much money is just sitting around in everybody's house. And if we could all work together on this, I mean, I'll even go to their houses and pick up the stuff. Or we can have a big box up at the school office for people to drop stuff in. They can send the stuff to school with their kid. They can drop it off at the office. You know, I had all the logistics figured out. I'm like, this can totally work because it's working for me right now. So I convinced them to let me try this for a month. And the parents loved it. I got so many emails about, what about this? Would you take that? Can you come get this? Whatever. And, you know, I was hustling it and doing it. I was so excited about this project. And I'm like, we're going to change the way fundraising is done. My kids were in middle school at the time. So this was through the middle school. So a month went by and I met with the officers again and I handed them an $800 check. This was from 1 month, one person doing the work, other parents donating the items. And I was just so excited. Like, do you realize what this means? You know, what we can buy for the school, you know, more computers and playground equipment and everything we need. And they all sat there and looked at me and just completely shot me down, because this means we're not going to do the wrapping paper anymore. We're not going to do the cookie dough anymore. And the mothers in charge of those projects were going to be pushed out. And it was all political. You know, so-and-so who'd been doing the wrapping paper fundraiser for 10 years, even though her kids had graduated from high school and wasn't even involved, she didn't even have kids in that school anymore. She did not want to be pushed out or have to change what she was doing because she was the wrapping paper queen. And the same with the cookie dough lady who, you know, that was her identity, was being in charge of the cookie dough fundraiser. So they said, yeah, we're not really going to do this anymore. And I was completely dumbfounded. Like, it's so easy. all people have to do is send stuff to school. And I'm doing all the work. I'm not even asking for any help. And I just handed you an $800 check. Help me understand what is wrong with this idea. And it was all political. And once again, I was ahead of the curve. They just didn't get it. So that kind of taught me, you know what? People aren't ready for these big ideas. And that's really what it's all about when you pitch an idea. It's who's receiving it and are they on board with it? Do they get it? So we didn't do it anymore. And I just focused on my own eBay business and put all that hard work into my business. And when it was fundraising time, my kids did not participate. I just sent a $100 check to the school and I'm like, here, we're not going to sell any of that stuff. Here's my donation and just leave us alone. So it's like, it's really hard sometimes being a person who is visionary and can see the big picture and see all the opportunities, but all the people around you cannot see what you're seeing. But important lesson is, you know what? Everybody else may not be ready for what you know. And sometimes you just have to be selfish and spend that time and energy on yourself.
All right. Those are my stories and I'm sticking to them. I feel like I have a lot of history I can share with you to help you along in your eBay journey and not make the same mistakes I did. Again, I'm Suzanne A. Wells. You can find me on YouTube and Facebook under the same name. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow me as new episodes drop every Tuesday. Have a profitable and productive day on eBay. Bye.